don't have all the time in the world, so let's get started. If you have your scriptures, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. And today's text comes from Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37. And we at Christ Central believe and confess the Bible to be the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And to show our greatest respect for the reading of God's holy word, we stand together to receive. So if you are able, please do stand. And may the Lord bless his reading. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." The word of God for the people of God. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we ask that you will bless this time, that you will teach us, enlighten us, and as we address an important issue in life once again, Lord God, we pray that you will not only forgive us of our sins, but you will also reassure us of the promise that we possess in Christ. So may this time be that just an amazing time of learning, growth, and maturity, and may we come to know the gospel that much more. Once again, we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We are currently going through the Sermon on the Mount, and as I have shared with you, the Sermon on the Mount can be broken into three parts. Your relationship to the world, and that is the teaching that Christ has given to us, as you are to be the light and the salt in this world. And now, he's addressing your relationship with others, that is your relationship with those who are around you. And lastly, God will address the issue of your own heart. And I have a little, you know, confession, observation that I want to actually share with you guys. Last week, I share with a few elders, with my family as well, too. I mean, there was just a hush in this sanctuary last week. I've never seen you guys so focused. Probably it's because of the subject matter. We talked about sex and sexuality. But you guys were so engaged, and I just saw the laser focus, the attention they came from you. And I was like, man, it would be great if that happens every week. But I think today will be just as the same intensity as last week. Because what God is really addressing is that old habit of all of us, that heart of deception, and we'll be talking about the issue of lies and lying. So I want us to actually come together, and we're going to think about three things today. We're going to talk about what is the big idea, teaching that Jesus is giving us through this teaching. And then we're going to really talk about why we lie. And we're going to be considering the reasons and the motivations behind it. And lastly, we want to really talk about how we can actually overcome that tendency of lies that we commit in heart. So today, Jesus comes. And I think it's very consistent with the overall theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus actually gave this teaching to his disciples, he was teaching them what it means to be a true, genuine, authentic Christian. We are talking about a true Christian kingdom life. That is what true Christian life is. In a nutshell, I could say that true Christian life is not something that is compartmentalized, but it's penetrated into the every sphere of your life, your relationship, not only with yourself, but with those who are around you, even your standing in the community that you are part of, everything changes. The way you think, how you speak, and how you live out your life, everything will change as a result of the gospel. And today, he's really talking and addressing the issues of lies and deception. So really the big idea is very, very simple. God wants you to live a life under the motto of living life truthfully. That if you are a Christian, God calls you to be men and women of integrity and honesty. Negatively, he doesn't want hypocrisy in life. How relevant is the issue of hypocrisy, especially in church, everyone? What is the most common complaint, objection that you hear from those who are not of the church? Christians are, fill in the blank, everyone, hypocrites. And what is a hypocrite? Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's what we are talking about. So let's look at the very teaching that he gives us. What Jesus is doing today in today's passage is not that he is actually prohibiting oath taking. There's a place for a vow and oath. But he's actually going a little deeper, and he's actually revealing the very hypocrisy of the Pharisees of his days. And you know, to understand that, we have to kind of understand the cultural context and some of the things that were happening in this particular time of Jesus' day. It was a common practice, and if you were a Jewish man or woman, you know from the learning of the Old Testament, God is God of promise. God is God of covenant. And the whole notion of covenant is God's faithfulness. Unlike men, he is a faithful God who will keep his promise. So if you know anything about the scripture, you understand how much God detests those who break promise. So we know, through the teachings in this scripture, if you're to ever invoke the name of God, by the way, the word invoke means you call God to be a witness of your testimony. So it was indeed taught in the Old Testament, if you were to invoke the name of God as witness of your testimony, and let's say you break that, then God will bring a judgment against you. So what the Pharisees, who are, by the way, very concerned about the letters of the law, their whole purpose in life was to put them on a pedestal, to show forth and display their righteousness and say, how perfect I am. So you know they took oath or anything that is related to oath seriously. So what did they do? They never wanted to put themselves in that position, so they came up with this system. They came up with this formula that, in a way, defined different levels of commitments. So it was a natural practice of Jesus' day. The Pharisees will say, if you want to know how serious I am when it comes to this particular vow or bond that I'm giving to you, let me just tell you how you can know. If I swear by the creatures, if I swear by heaven, earth, sun, moon, they are important, but they're not as important as when I swear by the name of God. And the reason why they have done so is because they wanted to ease their guilt conscience. For instance, let's say someone comes to you and says, I swear I'm telling the truth, and I swear on my cousin's grave. I mean, that's a great thing. But that's not as serious as when somebody comes and says, I swear on my mother's grave. Why would anyone defame the honor of your mom? And when someone says, I swear by mom's grave, you know that is a serious commitment. So the greater the object is, the more serious your commitment becomes. But the reason why this was problematic is because it was their easy of reducing their commitment to follow through. And Jesus says that is hypocrisy. So what Jesus is saying when he said do not swear at all, he's not actually saying oath and vow are not important because they have place. Like, you know, when you get married, you make a marriage vow. We do it all the time. But Jesus says, something is different about you who are followers of me. In fact, there is no reason for you to swear by anything nor by any name. And he says, it is a moot point. Why? Because it is irrelevant whether you swear by the name of God or by any creature. Because here is the big idea of true Christian life. When you become a Christian, The fundamental change that happens in your life is, according to your confession, that you begin to realize your entire life is lived out in the very presence of God. There is not a single moment when you are independent nor detached from the presence of God. Do you see that? So the crux of Jesus' teaching is this. The reason why you don't need to swear about anything is because you come to this realization, and this is the real principle behind true Christian life, you now begin to realize that you are always doing everything in the face of God. When you become a Christian, you make this confession. And this is really the foundation confession of all things that you do, right? Let me borrow the first stanza of Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the maker of heaven. When you confess that God is the creator and the maker of heaven and earth, what does that mean? By implication, he created all things, and he is ever present in every moment of your life. Do you see, everyone? The big idea is this. The reason why God calls you to live life truthfully, to commit to a life of integrity and honesty, is because you come to realize that God is real in your life. If you were to think about hypocrisy that way, hypocrisy at best is inconsistency, but at worst, it's really your unbelief in God. Let me give you an example. I got into a huge trouble by my wife this past week. You know, I wanted to be a good, godly husband, so I told my wife, you know what, before I go into church office, let's go for, a little, morning stroll. I wanted to catch up. I had this entire plan. I wanted to ask her, how are you doing spiritually? Is there anything, that I could pray for you? So we went to Levy right next to the water. We have a beautiful, this is a shared road with all the joggers and, walkers and even cyclists. So as we were kind of talking, we were having a great time. And all of a sudden, by the way, I hate bicyclists, okay, cyclists on the road. And normally when they come from behind you, they always either ring a bell or they say, to your left. But this person, okay, I swear, no pun intended, didn't say anything. And at last second, he said something and he literally went between my wife and me and literally almost knocked me off. And he said something under his breath as he took off. I didn't hear any apology. So you know what I did? And you know how loud I could get, actually. I said, excuse me. And then he actually stopped. By now, he was 100 feet away from me. He stopped, and he turned around, and I said, all you got to do is just talk. Let me know if you're coming. And I thought he was going to actually come. And unlike Pastor Simon, I was ready to go. And then he took off. I was mad. And then my wife, by now I knew something was really, really terribly wrong. She looked at me and she said, what is wrong with you? I said, what is wrong with him? What is wrong with you? I said, what? I am dumbfounded. First, you're walking on the wrong side of the street. I'm like, well, I was. But he just went. I'm like, do you really have to yell? And she just took off. And I was like, a little puppy, just following her. And then she just abruptly stopped and she said, let's go. And then I dropped her home. And I repented for a whole half an hour in my car and came to the church office. And then I apologized, and she sent me this text. Arrogance is so annoying. Oh, man. Like, do you really have to go there? But she went there. And here's the truth. I got caught. Normally, when my wife is around, I behave a little differently. A lot of this, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? The way you speak to your children is very radically different when your wife's around. And it was that moment I totally forgot that my wife was literally next to me. What is the idea that Jesus is talking about? Do you know that you live your life, all of us, by the way, live your life in the eyes of someone? Are you living your life in the eyes of God? That is the secret to living life truthfully through and through. Let's talk about lies. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Isn't that so simple? God cannot make it any more clear. Let your yes be yes, no be no. But why is that so hard? Why do we act so hypocritically? Why do we lie to others? And why does that come so naturally to us? Bella DiPaolo, who is a professor at University of Virginia, she studied on this topic of people's tendency to lie for this past 20 years. And this is what she came and realized. Lying is on the same par with brushing your teeth. Most people lie to someone else at least once or twice a day. Over a week, they lie to 30% of the individuals they interact with. And as with any bad habit, if you're really, really going to stop people from lying, it is imperative that you understand their motivation as to why they feel the need to lie. And I think the best way to answer that question is to really see what different types of lying are out there. There could be more, but I'm going to just bring to your attention some of these things and think with me. One obvious one that I could think about is plagiarism. Students do it when you are, let's say, late on your paper. You do the old trick called copy and paste. You copy someone else's work, and you paste to be your own. And the reason why plagiarism becomes lying is that because you steal someone else's good and property, and you make it to be your own, and there's a personal gain that you want to gain at the end, and you say, this is my credit, this is my work, this is mine. By the way, not only for students, not only in academia, but it happens all the time, even at work. You tend to borrow something, someone else's work, and you steal it. That is a form of lying. There's also a thing called the lie of fabrication. It happens in two ways. First, it happens when you want to impress people. And this is prevalent in the Bay Area. I don't know whether you guys know that there are services out there that actually help you with resume and your CVs. And you know what that service is really all about? They help you to enhance yourself a little bit. Flatter your words. Inflate the truth, meaning add something to it that is not really true altogether to make yourself. What are you doing? You're fabricating yourself. Negatively, there's one case where you actually gossip. And you know what gossip is? You want to take revenge. And you gossip. You fabricate the story of someone else that is not true and make it believable so his or her credibility will go down. That is a lie. There's also what we call lying in exaggeration. Exaggerating a truth, meaning as something that is really not there altogether. And this happened, by the way, a lot in relationships, especially in marriage. Husband, have you heard this statement from your wife? You never help me out. Or it goes something like, you always do that. Why do you always do that? That's a lie, everyone. You're exaggerating. There's some truth in it, but there's a lot of untruth in it. There's also known as white lies. Oh, that is not a big deal, Pastor Ben, because we don't want to hurt someone else's feeling. So your friend called, hey, what are you doing tonight? You have no plan, but you say, oh, you know, I got something else going on today. And you defend yourself by saying, I don't want to hurt that person's feeling. You know what that is? At the end of the day, it's your way of maintaining your reputation. But that's a lie. And there's what we call, maybe it would be the severe form of lying, what is known as a compulsive or pathological lying. Someone who is out of control. And this hits home for me because I personally knew a student of mine. I've known this girl for a long time. She attended a renowned university, graduated in honors, went to a law school, passed the bar, became a very successful attorney. So I thought, because that was the light and image that she shared with everybody else for 10 plus years. Only to be exposed by a licensed attorney who found something fishy about this person, looked up, and realized that there is no one by the name in the California who is practicing. Here's an interesting thing. National Geography, they did a special article trying to collect data to figure out as to why people lie. And this is the result. 75% of people who lie do so in order to protect themselves from justified harm or to gain something not of their own. 14% say they lie to avoid trouble. 22% people say they lie to avoid personal transgression. 16% lie in order for economic advantage. 15% lie for personal advantage. And 8% people lie in order to maintain their self-impression, positive image of themselves. And I thought it was very, very interesting. This is not a Christian publication by no means, but at the end, this was the conclusion. Not only is everyone capable of lying, the research points to the fact that everyone has a propensity to lie. Human beings universally possess a talent for deceiving one another. We also have, based on these lies, the ability to convince ourselves that we are perfectly honest in most of the circumstances we face. Paul Ekman, professor at University of California in San Francisco, says this. Ultimate reason as to why people lie is because they tell the story which they want to be heard. And it's so interesting to me, he says, the root of their behavior is one of insecurity. So what do? They create this false reality to be under this disillusion, to create oneself that is acceptable to others. And the reason why they continue to do so in this behavior is because of their fear of being exposed. So the only way to maintain who you are is to keep on lying. I can't help but to think that underneath this tendency that is universal, that is so natural, that is so personal, I can't help but to think that there is an issue of fear, identity, security, and control, everyone. And let me come out and be very blunt with you. How many of you guys actually can be somewhat, you know, civil when you are lied to? I don't know about you, but one thing that really bothers me is when somebody lies to me. Oh, man, it just gets to me. But now let me turn the table. How many of you guys believe in your heart that you are a pathological liar, compulsive liar? I have to stand before you and admit the fact that that's what I am. I thought about this. I so care about how people perceive me. I so care about my security. I so care about my own image. And I so care about me wanting to be in control of all things. And I so care about what people think of me. I mean, that fear drives me. And I catch myself, and maybe this is not an exaggeration. Maybe I think I'm an honest person, but the reality is, I am a liar, through and through. And when you actually read the scriptures, you know what the Bible calls that? Sin. I want you to look at the scriptures from this point of angle. Isn't it interesting, everyone? The Bible begins with the narrative of lie. In fact, it starts with the introduction of God, who is the creator of all things, placing man, who is the image of God, in the garden, and now the fall happened. You know what the story of fall is all about? It is a story of lie. Satan comes. He is known as a crafty one. What does that mean, everyone? He's a liar. The very nickname of Satan in this scripture, Jesus called him the father of all lies. So he comes, and he makes this lie to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? And isn't it ultimately the issue of identity, security, and control? Are you happy as who you are? Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to have it all? Why not have this tree of knowledge of good and evil? Don't you want what you cannot have? Don't you want to call the shot? Don't you want to decide for yourself what is good and evil instead of God determining it for you? So Adam fell into that deception. He bought into that lie. And as a result of that, what happened? He became a liar. When confronted by God, who and what have you done? They hid themselves away from the presence of God as if God wasn't there. And only to realize God knew everything and that had ever taken place in their lives. Do you get that, everyone? Lying is not a problem of someone else, but it is the inherent issue of those who have fallen from God's grace. Lying is a very mode of self-existence which we live our lives under, wanting to be in control, determining the future, doing what we think is the very best, and we lie and lie and lie so that at the end, we will do what is best for us. And if you and I were to look at ourselves from that gospel angle, are we so not guilty of it? Do you see, everyone? We cannot fix this tendency by telling ourselves, do better. Can I be honest? If you're parents, our children will never grow out of lying. How do we know that? You are the very proof of that reality. We are, everyone, the proof that in thee, this is a serious matter. So then how do we overcome this? Now, do you see as to why this is such a profound teaching when Jesus said, let your yes be yes, be no, if you are a follower of Jesus? What Jesus is trying to do is have us first believe that we are in desperate need because we need serious intervention. So what is the answer? It sounds like a cliche, and I may sound like a broken record, but the only issue that you can really overcome, only way to remedy this issue is when you become truly a believer of the gospel. Why is gospel so important, imperative? addressing this issue of lying in our own heart. Because gospel is the only one that can deal with the issues underneath that issue. Gospel is the real answer that will remedy the issue of your fear, identity, security, and control. And I want you to think this with me, and let's be marinated with the truth of the gospel here. Gospel first casts out fear. Remember, I share with our children, the reason why children lie to parents is because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. And you know why gospel is so amazing about that? Because we don't need to lie of our sins, our mistakes, and our failures anymore. Do you get that? Because gospel declares that God, who knows everything that you have done, in fact, he knows every secret of your heart, and what did God declare unto us? In Christ, your sins are forgiven. Do you get that? There's no reason for you to hide. There's no reason for you to lie about your mistakes and failures, because God, who knows it all, has forgiven your sins. There's no fear of judgment if you're in Christ. Gospel gives us a true identity. Do you remember one of the tendency commonalities that people lie because they are so insecure about themselves? They so feel the need to impress others socially and relationally. But when you come to believe in the gospel message, that you become a secure person and you have a true identity in Christ as a child of God, there's no need to exaggerate of yourself to anyone else. And here's another thing that's so important. People lie for their personal gain, right? But do you know that only in gospel you can find true security? And the true security is that you lack nothing in Christ and you possess every spiritual blessing in Christ. When you feel like you are lacking something, you will lie to get that. But the reason why we don't need to lie about that is because we know in Christ, God has given and bestowed every blessing that we could ever have. And lastly, people lie because they don't want to be in control of the circumstance situations. But when you believe in the gospel, you become this mostly assured person that God is in control of all things, that I don't need to do anything on my own. Do you see why I keep saying the issue of lying is really an issue of your faith in God? Do you believe? And let's look at the gospel this way. The very cross that you see behind me, do you know why Jesus actually died on the cross? He died on the cross as a result of lying. Isn't it interesting? Do you remember when Jesus was arrested, he came to the high priest? What did the high priest do? It was a kangaroo court. It was a fabricated arrest. And they actually brought false witnesses. False witnesses to testify against Jesus. And in the middle of it, the high priest says this to Jesus: I adjure you in the name of the living God. The word adjure means this: I put you under oath. As God is our witness, I want you to tell the truth. And the high priest has this question: who are you? And what was Jesus' answer? I am the Son of Man. And high priest and everyone in the room, they tore their cloak and they said, blasphemy! And you know what blasphemy is? You are a liar! And because of that lie, Jesus was crucified on the cross. Why? So that he can undo the very lie that was seated in the garden. So that he will remain true to the very promise that he made from the very beginning. That I love you no matter what. For every deceit and lie that you have committed, I will pay the penalty of it. Even though you're a liar, that I will forgive you and I will give up my life. In other words, Jesus remained true in his life. Here's an interesting statement. When the Bible said there is no deceit found in Jesus. You know, if anyone wants to really, really know whether Jesus is true God or not, I think that's one of the most amazing Bible verses you could ever use. He never lied. Why? Because he is God, not man. All to say, this is it. Jesus
gave us the truth.
I am the way and the truth and the life. He fulfilled his vow. So here's really the real answer as to how you will overcome and fight this temptation of the need to lie to others. Once again, I will sound like a cliche and a broken record, but you have to fall in love with Jesus. I just think that it's an amazing, profound statement when John writes this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. Most common reason as to why people lie is due to their fear. Do you get that? I'll finish with this illustration. I think there's a difference between mom and dad in their way of disciplining their children. I get so bothered by my kids when they lie to me. And you know, I feel like they take me for a fool, that I know what is going on. They undermine my intellect. They think that they could be smarter than me. It's just very offensive in every way. Okay? So what do? I try to instill fear in them. If I ever catch you lying again, you're going to be in serious trouble. And what do, everyone? They will lie more because they're really, really scared. But I've noticed that moms are a little bit more gentle. Mom's not about instilling fear. You know what they're about? Reassuring them. You could tell me everything because I'll love you no matter what. So I've noticed that my children lie to me more, but they tell truth to my wife. And that dawned on me. What is the best way of creating and promoting accountability, everyone? Love creates natural accountability. He's my delight. I don't want to disappoint him. Not out of fear, that's not a legalistic, but I want to obey him. I want to please him. That I want to do everything that I can. Do you get that? When you love Jesus, that's how you live a life that is truthful, consistent, how you become men and women of integrity and honesty as the followers of Jesus. And now let me address the church. Biggest hypocrisy that we commit as a church is that we love everyone. And I got this by listening to a radio station yesterday, K-Love. The lady said, the greatest hypocrisy for church is to say we love everyone, but they're not ready to welcome people. And I think this is on us. We have created this false representation, misrepresentation, I should say. Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And we need to own. Church of Christ, God has commissioned you to be a witness of Jesus. And to be a witness means that you take that witness stand to make this oath, that I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, but the whole truth. This got me more than last week's sermon. I am a truth teller. And we as a church must be truth bearers. And you and I need to be people who live life truthfully, honestly. The life of integrity is our call. Let's take a moment to pray. Will you take a moment to really, really pray? I don't know what God is speaking to you this morning, but I know that we need to repent of our hypocrisy, and I want you to make a commitment to live your life truthfully. Let's take a moment.